Hare Krishna, I welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Hari Parshad Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam 4th Canto 25th Chapter 56th Verse. Before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would request Vivek Prabhu to give introduction to Prabhuji. Vivek Prabhu, please take over.
Mataji, thank you. Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances, all good Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Hari Parshad Das Prabhuji. A brief introduction about Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji is a disciple of His Holiness Radha Govind Goswami Maharaj, and he joined ISKCON in 2002. He was born in Gauda Saraswata Brahmana family in Mumbai. His father and grandfather are both devotees of Sri Sri Rukmini Vithal of Pandapur. Hari Parshad Das Prabhuji learned Sanskrit in the traditional way in his childhood and was taught the Laghu Siddhanta Kaumudi of Pandit Varadaraja. Between 2002 to 2007, he served as a book distributor and organized programs and seminars for ISKCON youth in Juhu. He has also written Sanskrit verses in the Chitrakavya style. In 2007, Hari Parshad Das Prabhuji was appointed assistant editor of Gopal Jiyuk Publications. Hari Parshad Das Prabhuji is an accomplished Sanskrit scholar, having studied the Ashtadhyayi, the complete 4,000 sutras of Panini, and completing a translation with commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Manashiksha in 2015. He currently compiles a fortnightly e-magazine called Sri Krishna Kathamrita Bindu, where he regularly contributes fresh translations and articles. He holds a master's degree in information technology, graduating with distinction from the Manipal University in 2012. He is married with a son. Hari Parshad Das Prabhuji has been a member of the Shastric Advisory Council since 2016. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your association. We are extremely grateful for you to come and enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Vivek Prabhu. Thank you so much, Mataji, for kindly inviting me to speak here. I am very thankful to Shama Gauri Mataji, to Priti Vilasini Mataji, to Kirtida Sundari Mataji, all the devotees who help in organizing Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. And I am very honored to be invited here today to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. The topic today is Canto 4, Chapter 25, Verse number 56. But our standard practice is to begin with Mangalacharan. So I will first perform Mangalacharan. Most of us know these verses, so you can sing along with me. ॐ अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सोयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरौ श्री युत पद कमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं सागर जातं सह गण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादां सह गण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bula Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol. So, thank you once again, dear devotees, for kindly inviting me to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. The topic is very interesting. It is about the descriptions of Puranjana. And what I'll be doing is, before we start, I'll be sharing my screen so that we can all have a look at the verse. And then we'll read the word by word. We'll read the translation by Srila Prabhupada. And we'll read the purport. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Karma Susam Saktah Kamatma Vanchito Buddha Mahishi Yadyadi Heta Tatta Devano Evanvavartata. Synonyms, evam, thus, karmasu, infruitive activities, tam saktah, being too much attached, kama atma, lusty, vanchitah, cheated, abhudah, less intelligent, mahishi, the queen, yat, yat, whatsoever. Iheta, she would desire. Tat, tat, all of that. Eva, certainly. Anvavartata, he followed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhaye Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Being thus entangled in different types of mental concoction and engaged in fruitive activities, King Puranjan came completely under the control of material intelligence and was thus cheated. Indeed, he used to fulfill all the desires of his wife, the queen. Purport. When a living entity is in such bewilderment that he is under the control of his wife or material intelligence, he has to satisfy the intelligence of his so-called wife and act exactly according to her dictates. Various shastras advise that for material convenience, one should keep his wife always satisfied by giving her ornaments and by following her instructions. In this way, there will be no trouble in family life. Therefore, for one's own social benefit, one is advised to keep his wife satisfied. In this way, when one becomes the servant of his wife, he must act according to the desires of his wife. Thus, one becomes more and more entangled. In Bengal, it is said that if one becomes an obedient servant of his wife, he loses all reputation. However, the difficulty is that unless one becomes the most obedient servant of his wife, family life becomes disturbed. In the Western countries, this disturbance gives rise to the divorce law. And in Eastern countries like India, there is separation. Now, this disturbance is confirmed by the new introduction of the divorce law in India. Within the heart, the mind is acting, thinking, feeling and willing. And falling under the control of one's wife is the same as falling under the control of material intelligence. Thus, one begets children by his wife and becomes entangled in so many activities under the control of mental concoctions. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Hare Krishna. So, thank you once again, dear devotees, for kindly assembling here today. This is a very special verse because in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about how the husband becomes attached to his wife. So this is an allegorical story. So the wife of Puranjan basically represents his buddhi, that is his material intelligence. But Srila Prabhupada is taking the literal meaning of wife and then explaining in the purport that in material life, especially in householder life, one becomes attached to his wife and then one fulfills all the desires of his wife. And when that happens, such a person is ridiculed in human society. Especially Prabhupada is speaking about Bengal during his times, wherein if somebody would be too attached to their wives, then they would be ridiculed. So, at this point of time, I would like to speak something about householder life, because it is very important to speak something about the Grihastha Ashram. Many times we hear instructions amongst devotees that Grihastha Ashram is full of suffering. It is complete, replete with suffering. And therefore, it is compared to a blind well in which one falls down and ends up hurting himself. So, dear devotees, when we hear such descriptions or narrations of Grihastha Ashram, then we sometimes feel, am I in the correct place in my life? Am I in the proper ashram? Because if it is such a huge abode of suffering and misery, then, you know, maybe I should do something else for my spiritual advancement. And many times such advice is given that spiritual advancement is very slow in Grihastha Ashram. So, after having heard this many times, I had a small desire to speak something about Grihastha Ashram, because it is important to be understood that Grihastha is one of the four ashrams in the Varnashram system. And these four Varnas and these four ashramas are established by Lord Krishna himself. So, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam Gunakarma Vibhakasham. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the four Varnas were created by him. And along with the four Varnas are four ashramas, because Varnas, people who fall into the four Varnas also fall into four ashramas. So the system of Varnashram has been created by Lord Krishna himself. But sometimes what happens is that there is a tendency in certain individuals to overly criticize a specific ashram. So it is important to put every ashram in its proper context and to highlight the utility of every ashram. Because all other ashrams, Brahmachari, Vanaprasth and Sannyas, are dependent on the Grihastha Ashram for their maintenance. Now, if these three ashrams which are dependent on the Grihastha Ashram for their maintenance, if these three ashrams start hurting the Grihastha Ashram, then it is important to put the importance of Grihastha Ashram in proper perspective. First and foremost, we should understand that even though Grihastha is described as a difficult ashram, it is mainly described as a difficult ashram for those who are not devotees. Now, let me give an example of this, because it is pointless to give one's own opinions without citing Shastra. So when the fifth canto begins, In the very first verse of the fifth canto, there is Maharaj Priyavrat's history, and Parikshit Maharaj begins by asking something about Maharaj Priyavrat. Priyavrata Bhagavato Atmaramah Katham Mune Grihe Ramatayan Mulo Karma Bandha Parabhava. King Parikshit inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, O great sage, why did King Priyavrat, who was a great self-realized devotee of the Lord, remain in household life, which is the root cause of the bondage of karma and which defeats the mission of human life? So Parikshit Maharaj inquired from Priyavrat, and this will be coming up because right now we are discussing fourth canto, very soon fifth canto will come up. And the first statement in fifth canto is, why did Maharaj Priyavrat remain in household life? The reason why Maharaj Priyavrat remained in household life is because he had to fulfill a certain order. And immediately, you know, he says, devotees are certainly liberated persons. Therefore, O greatest of the Brahmanas, they cannot possibly be absorbed in family affairs. So immediately Parikshit Maharaj comes to the realization. After saying that, you know, householder life is self-defeating, he immediately says that, well, actually devotees are not like that. For devotees, it is not possible to be absorbed in family affairs. So, when such statements are seen, then sometimes a brahmachari or a vanaprastha or a sannyasi may say, oh, but this is for the pure devotees. This is not for you. So then, all right. Let's see another statement then. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, 3rd verse, Lord Rishabhdev says, Yevam Ishe Kritasaurdhartha Janeshu Deham Bharavartikeshu Graheshu Jayat Majarati Matsu Napriti Yuktaya Vadarthas Chaloke. Rishabhdev says, the translation is, those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And importantly, Rishabhdev says, they are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders. Nor are they attached to wife, children, friends or wealth. But at the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. Such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. So, again, Rishabhdev is describing the devotee householder. That the devotee householder is ultimately not attached to his household possessions. So, for this reason, we should understand that the grihastha ashram of the devotee is extremely different from the grihastha ashram of the attached karmi. Because in the grihastha ashram of the devotee, even if they have some problems, those problems they surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In my reading of the literature of the six Goswamis, I have not come across a single statement where they are recommending one ashram over another ashram. I have not come across. Many of you have studied Nectar of Instruction. And if you can think of a statement in Nectar of Instruction which speaks about which ashram is greater or which ashram is lesser, then you can please let me know. Because I am sure that there is no such statement. Many of us have also read Bhakti Rasamriti Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. And we may understand that in the entire Bhakti Rasamriti Sindhu, where Rupa Goswami is describing Uttama Bhakti, he does not put any ashram as a prerequisite of Uttama Bhakti. No ashram is put as the prerequisite for Uttama Bhakti. So, dear devotees, this consideration that Grihastha ashram is very painful and all other ashrams are full of bliss, this misconception should be driven out, because all are ashramas. Please try to understand. Brahmachari is also ashram. Grihastha is also ashram. Vanaprastha is also ashram. And sannyas is also ashram. All of these are ashramas. And there is a meaning to the term ashrama. I want to break down the term ashrama, because it is important to understand what is the meaning of the term ashrama. We can see here the term ashrama. The meaning of the term ashrama is, the first term is a. A means samyak. Samyak means complete. And the second term is shrama. The term shrama, for those of us who know Hindi or Marathi, shram karna means labor or hard work. So ashrama means complete hard work. In all ashramas, these are places for struggle and hard work. Please try to understand. Somebody paints a rosy image that Grihastha ashram is full of hard work. Then they should understand and they should go and see the descriptions of Brahmachari ashram. Because many times we develop a rosy feeling of Brahmachari ashram after seeing, thinking or hearing that Grihastha ashram is full of suffering. Let us see description of Brahmachari ashram from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 12, Perfect Society, 4 Spiritual Classes. So I have shared this screen with you, you can see here. And instead of going through all the verses, we'll just quickly go through the summary given by Srila Prabhupada. So here from the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada starts describing. The Brahmachari should live under the care of the true spiritual master, which means a Brahmachari cannot stay independently. If a Brahmachari is staying independently, not under the care of the true spiritual master, they are not following Brahmachari ashram. And the Brahmachari should give him sincere respect and obeisances, acting as his menial servant. Dear devotees, please note one thing. Previously, in Gurukulas, many Brahmacharis were staying in the ashram of a Grihastha Guru. Many Brahmacharis, they used to stay in the ashram of a Grihastha Guru. So the Guru is Grihastha and the Shishya is Brahmachari. And why is the Guru supposed to be Grihastha? There is a very important reason for this. The Guru is supposed to be Grihastha because mainly it is the Grihastha who has adhikar or eligibility for fire sacrifice. It is the Grihastha who has eligibility to offer oblations in the fire. The sannyasi cannot light a fire. By traditional rules, the sannyasi cannot light a fire. The brahmachari can light a fire, but his lighting of fire is mainly in order to help his Grihastha Guru. Amongst all the four ashramas, the ashram which has the main right to offer fire sacrifice is the Grihastha ashram. Therefore, the brahmachari should stay under the care of the true spiritual master, giving sincere respect and obeisances and acting as a menial servant of that spiritual master, who in most cases is a Grihastha. So the brahmachari has to give respect to the Grihastha spiritual master and always carrying out his order. So just like Krishna and Balaram, they were staying as brahmacharis in the ashram of the Grihastha named Sandipani Muni, and they were giving him sincere respect and obeisances. Sandipani is himself a Grihastha and he is accepting the pranams of brahmacharis. So this is what a brahmachari should do. The brahmachari should engage himself in spiritual activities and study the Vedic literature under the direction of the spiritual master. So, under the direction of the Grihastha Guru, the brahmachari should engage himself in spiritual activities and study the Vedas. why is a Grihastha Guru required? Because a Sannyasi Guru usually does not touch the Vedas. A Sannyasi is mainly in Vedanta. He has given up the Pravritti Marg and he is engaging in Nivritti Marg. The literature for Nivritti Marg is Vedanta, not the Vedas. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarchida. So if the Brahmachari has to learn Vedas, he has to go to the home of a Guru who has Adhikar for Vedas. Who is that Guru who has Adhikar for Vedas? That is the Grihastha Guru. And he has to study Vedic literature under the direction of the Grihastha Guru. Now, according to the Brahmacharya system, he should dress with a belt. So he should wear a belt, mekhla, deer skin, mrigacharma, and matted hair, jata. And should bear a danda, kamandal, water pot, and sacred thread, upavit. So this is what he should be doing. Now, if this description is shown, then some of the brahmacharis say, but we can't do this today. Why can't we do this today? Because we have to preach. But preach to whom? Oh, preach to the householders in the world outside. Oh, acha. So, if so much can be compromised in the brahmachari ashram for preaching to the householders outside, then definitely we should not think that Grihastha ashram is a place of difficulties. Because from this description we can say how much difficulties are there in the brahmachari ashram. How many difficulties are present in the brahmachari ashram. We should not paint a rosy picture of an ashram, because the very term ashram means complete hard work. Let's see how the hard work continues. He should collect alms daily in the morning. So every morning he should collect alms for the Grihastha Guru. And in the evening, whatever alms he has collected, he should offer to the spiritual master. Next, a brahmachari should accept prasad upon the order of the spiritual master, Prabhupada says. Only when the spiritual master, the Grihastha Guru, has ordered, then the brahmachari should accept prasad. And if the spiritual master sometimes forgets to order the disciple to eat, the disciple should not take prasad on his own initiative. Rather, he should fast. So, this is the description of Brahmachari Ashram. It doesn't simply end there. It further, it says the Brahmachari should be trained to be satisfied with eating what is absolutely necessary. He should be very expert in executing responsibilities. He should be faithful and he should control his senses and try to avoid the association of women as far as possible. A brahmachari should very strictly abstain from living with women and should not meet with grihasthas and those addicted to women. Nor should a brahmachari speak in a lonely place with a woman. So then Prabhupada describes after completion of brahmachari ashram. So these are the duties of a brahmachari. Now after listening to these duties, anyone can clearly understand how brahmachari is an ashram or a place of immense hard work. And therefore, one should understand that not only Grihastha, but all ashrams are abodes of suffering in the material world. Some suffering is less, some suffering is more. But all ashrams are abodes of suffering in the material world. And if in these ashrams we cannot execute our Krishna Bhakti, then no matter which ashram we are currently in, we will end up cheating ourselves. Every ashram is good when Krishna Bhakti is present in that ashram. And every ashram becomes difficult when Krishna Bhakti is absent in that particular ashram. Therefore, one should understand that Grihastha ashram is specifically a very important ashram amongst the four ashramas, because first and foremost, it supports the other ashramas. Not only does it support the other ashramas, after supporting the other ashramas, it folds its hands and takes instructions from the other ashramas. After supporting the sannyasi, the grihastha takes instructions from the sannyasi. The grihastha touches the feet of the sannyasi. The grihastha washes the feet of the sannyasi. And after doing all that, he takes instructions from the sannyasi and gives sweet words to the sannyasis. Dear devotees, this is the glory of grihastha ashram. And it is very important to understand that when statements are made criticizing grihastha ashram, it should be understood that those statements are made particularly and mainly in relation to people who are non-devotees. But in relation to people who are devotees, there are a different set of statements made. I would like to show a statement which has been made by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his literature named Jaiva Dharma. In the 7th chapter of Jaiva Dharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a statement. I am showing this statement here. Enjoy material pleasures without attachment is only possible in the household life of the Lord's devotees. Dear devotees, let's take a moment and again go through this statement. To enjoy material pleasures without attachment is only possible in the household life of the Lord's devotees. Please see, there are many implications of the statement. Material pleasure without attachment is only possible in household life, which means it is not possible in other three ashramas. Absolutely no material pleasure with or without attachment in the other three ashramas. Next, for the jivas in Kali Yuga, it is most suitable to become grihastha bhaktas. For then there is no fear of falling down and full spiritual advancement is definitely achievable. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur categorically says that for the jivas in Kali Yuga, it is most suitable to become grihastha bhaktas. For then there is no fear of falling down and full spiritual advancement is definitely achievable. Now somebody may place a doubt here that, you know, but mainly the instructions are given to society by sannyasis. And if most people become grihasthas, then how can a handful of sannyasis instruct the entire world of grihasthas? So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the next paragraph, many highly intelligent and self-realized gurus have been amongst the grihastha Vaishnavas. So many intelligent and self-realized personalities have been amongst the grihastha Vaishnavas. If their hereditary descendants also become pure Vaishnavas, then they are also grihastha bhaktas whose association is most beneficial to humanity. This, dear devotees, is a statement from the 7th chapter of Jaiva Dharma. So it is very important for us to understand that when statements are made regarding a particular ashram in Shastra, these statements are technically known as Arthavad, statements criticizing a particular position or statements glorifying a particular position. For example, there is a statement in Shastra which says that if we drink Soma and perform Yajna, we will go to heaven. Now, all those who drink Soma and perform Yajna don't end up going to heaven. Does it mean that the statement is false? No, the statement is not false, but that statement is intended to encourage people to perform Yajna. The main intention of the statement was to encourage people to perform Yajna. Some of them definitely will go to heaven, but all of them will not go. But everybody is being encouraged in Shastra to perform Yajna. Similarly, sometimes there are statements in Shastra which say that Grihastha Ashram is a blind well and one falls into the blind well of Grihastha Ashram. Does it mean that all grihasthas are fallen into this blind well? No, it is Ninda Arthavad. Ninda Arthavad means it is a statement which is used to give caution to the person who is entering into the grihastha ashram that such a situation is potentially possible. Please be aware. So for this reason, some statements in Shastra are given so that devotees should take proper due care and diligence before entering into the ashram. But once they are situated properly in the ashram and they are able to execute their Krishna Bhakti, then their ashram, whatever ashram they are, that ashram is beneficial and beautiful. If somebody doesn't believe me, especially a Gaudiya Vaishnava doesn't believe me, they should understand one thing. Every morning, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Brahmachari, Sannyasis, Vanaprasthas, Grihasthas, all of them, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas every morning, they are singing, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Now, they are reciting the names of Panchatattva. Now, in Panchatattva, let us analyze what is the majority, which ashram is the majority. Shri Krishna Chaitanya is in Sannyas Ashram. Although we worship him as Grihastha, but for the sake of saying, let's say he is in Sannyas Ashram. Prabhu Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu is in Grihastha Ashram. So, one personality is in Grihastha Ashram. Shri Advaita. Advaita Acharya is in Grihastha Ashram. Gadadhar. Gadadhar Pandit took Kshetra Sannyas. So, he is in Sannyas Ashram. And Srivas. Srivas is in Grihastha Ashram. So, in the Panchatattva, the majority are Grihasthas. This is the foundation of the Gaudiya Vaishnava religion. So, if in Panchatattva the majority are Grihasthas, it means that Grihasthas are going to play a major role in the movement of Mahaprabhu. A major role will be played by Grihasthas. And it is very important to understand that this ashram should be carefully preserved in our society. Because unless this ashram is carefully preserved in our society, we will lose the very thing that we want to establish. Srila Prabhupada many times said that it is important that we should have Daivi Varnashram Dharma. Now, it will not be possible to have Varna and Ashram unless we have four Varnas and four Ashramas. And one of the four Ashramas is Grihastha Ashram. Now, this Grihastha Ashram will be possible only if we carefully nurture it and we carefully support it. And qualified Grihasthas should therefore come forward and set an example in this regard. Because unless qualified Grihasthas come forward and set an example, other Grihasthas will not be able to look up to them and will not be able to follow those examples. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Narada Muni, all spiritual teachers who may have spoken against Grihastha Ashram have also spoken in favor of Grihastha Ashram. So if we see some person who is only speaking against Grihastha Ashram, then we should understand that such a person does not have Samanvay Buddhi. Samanvay Buddhi means the ability to reconcile contradictory positions. Narad Muni in the screen of ideal family life in front of I am reading something. As for the maintenance of his family, a grihastha, while earning what he requires for living, must be very conscientious and must not undergo extraordinary endeavor simply to accumulate money and unnecessary increase in material comforts. So see here, See, the instructions in Grihastha Ashram are for avoiding extra suffering. Whereas the instructions in Brahmachari Ashram are for accepting voluntary suffering. See the distinction. Although a Grihastha should externally be very active in earning his livelihood, he should internally be situated as a fully self-realized person without attachment for material gains. His dealings with family members or friends should be performed simply to fulfill their purpose. One should not be extravagantly engaged in this way. Instructions from family members and society should be accepted superficially. Please try to understand. Very important point. Because the current verse was speaking about saying yes to everything that the spouse says, to the what the wife says. So for the devotee, he externally says yes, yes. But if that instruction from the wife or if that instruction from the husband is not conducive for one's spiritual advancement, then one may externally say yes, but internally one is determined not to go ahead and execute that instruction. So that saying yes is only superficial. Prabhupada clarifies this. But in essence, the Grihastha should be engaged in occupational duties advised by the spiritual master and Shastra. Specifically, a Grihastha should be engaged in agricultural activities to earn money. So, this dear devotees is Grihastha Ashram, and there are many other duties of Grihastha Ashram, specifically how they should treat and welcome members of other ashramas. So, they should always give the utmost respect to members of other ashramas, because the members of other ashramas have detached themselves from material life. They voluntarily did not accept material comforts. They voluntarily did not accept material enjoyment. And for this reason, they are very glorious in whatever ashrams that they are situated. But at the same time, the Grihastha Ashram, which is the birthplace of the Lord, because all the parents of the Lord have appeared in Grihastha Ashram. The Lord never appears from a brahmachari or a sannyasi. The Lord appears in the household life of devotees. So all the great devotees which are described in the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, most of them are Vamshakatha. Vamshakatha means lineages of dynasties of great devotee kings. These were all Grihasthas. And Shukadeva Goswami, the topmost brahmachari, beyond whom there is no other brahmachari, the highest pinnacle of all brahmacharya, Shukadeva Goswami, who is so fixed in his brahmacharya that when he is walking through a forest and ladies are bathing, and the ladies don't even care to cover themselves because they have confidence in Shukadeva Goswami that this person does not have a lusty vision towards us. That Shukadeva Goswami has glorified lineages of householder kings, because these householder kings appeared in glorious lineages and they were great devotees of the Lord. So, this is how Grihastha Ashram has been described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the case of Puranjan, the Grihastha Ashram is being looked down upon, specifically because Narad Muni is instructing Prachinavari. And when he is instructing Prachinavari, he understands that Prachinavari, instead of becoming a devotee of the Lord, he has become an expert Karmakandiya Brahman. And because of becoming an expert Karmakandiya Brahman, that too fully indulged in household life, that is a dangerous position for him. And while performing these yagyas or sacrifices, he has slaughtered many animals. So that is certainly going to be detrimental to his spiritual growth. For this reason, Narada Muni has advised negatively to Prachina Barhi in this Puranjan episode. Otherwise, for the devotee, there is absolutely no harm If householder life is favorable for the execution of their bhakti, a devotee may even leave their body in householder life. There is absolutely no problem. Because any ashram is favorable for execution of bhakti as long as one is able to remember the Lord favorably at the moment of death. Any ashram is favorable for the Lord. What to speak of Grihastha ashram, even those who are not situated in any ashram, for example, Gajendra, for example, Bharat Muni in the life of a deer, even if they remember the Supreme Lord, they can achieve the highest benefit. What then to speak of Sadgrihasthas who are situated properly in the Grihastha ashram? It is very important to understand that the Grihastha ashram can be an immense source of spiritual advancement and realization. Yes, there are difficulties in Grihastha ashram also because it is also an ashram. The difficulty is that along with oneself, one has to maintain many members of the family. One has to earn for many members of the family. And if one can easily earn for the members of the family, if one can easily provide for the members of the family, then a Grihastha can get ample time for spiritual advancement. Ample time. One such Grihastha was Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. He was Zamindar. Zamindar means he has immense property and there are servants appointed to work for him, and those servants will carry out his work. And at the same time, Raghunath Das Goswami has heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his sannyas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to run away from Grihastha ashram. And at that point of time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu detects this mentality in Raghunath Das Goswami. And the verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks to Raghunath Das Goswami is as follows. So Raghunath Das Goswami is eager to escape from householder life, and this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Raghunath Das Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sthir haiya ghare yao, nahao baatula, krame krame paya loka, bhava sindhu pula. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Raghunath Das Goswami, Sthira haiya ghare jao. You become, you know, patient. To be a little stable at mind. Ghare jao. Go back home. Na hao vatul. Don't become a crazy person. Krame krame paya lok bhava sindhu kul. Gradually, every person crosses across the ocean of material existence. Just be patient and return home. Don't be a crazy fellow. By and by, you will be able to cross the ocean of material existence. Now, next, he says, Markat vairagya na kara, loka dekhaiya, yatha yogya vishaya bhunja, anasakta haiya. So he says to Raghunath Das Goswami, you should not make yourself a show bottle devotee and become a false renunciant. For the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. See here, for the time being, enjoy the material world in a befitting way and do not become attached to it. This is a guru who is telling the disciple, for the time being, enjoy the world. We may have never heard such an instruction before, but this is the time, you know, when we should meditate on this instruction, that householder life is meant for detached enjoyment. Detached enjoyment means when one is enjoying a certain thing in householder life, one should understand that this enjoyment is not going to remain forever, and sooner or later I have to give up this enjoyment. So when somebody is enjoying in the household life, he should be detached. Moreover, whatever enjoyment is there in householder life, one should offer to Krishna through the process of Arop Siddha Bhakti. Then it is perfect. So whatever enjoyment one gets, one should enjoy it in a befitting way by first offering to the Lord. Then next he says, Antare Nishthakara Baye Loka Vyavahar Achirat Krishna Tomai Karive Uddhara. Antare Nishthakara, in your heart you remain fixed. Bahye Loka Vyavahar, externally you show just regular. Achirat Krishna Tomai Karive Uddhara, very soon Krishna will deliver you. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, within your heart you should keep yourself very faithful, but externally you may behave like an ordinary man. Thus Krishna will soon be very pleased and deliver you from the clutches of Maya. So dear devotees, these are instructions which were first given to Raghunath Das Goswami. And when Raghunath Das Goswami detached himself while he was in the Grihastha Ashram, and then finally when he came out of Grihastha Ashram, his example is quoted even by the sannyasis and brahmacharis. So this is the personality who first practiced all his detachment in the Grihastha Ashram. And in a similar way, we all also can learn to practice detachment within the Grihastha Ashram itself. Detachment is needed for all living entities. But whether that happens in Brahmachari Ashram or Grihastha Ashram or Vanaprastha Ashram or a Sannyas Ashram, that is dependent on each and every individual's specific nature. Because all are ashramas. Ashrama has two primary purposes. One is to act as a place of hard work. Second is to act as a place of shelter. So to act as a place of shelter, there are four ashramas, and these four ashramas give shelter to four different types of living entities who have different inclinations. And Grihastha Ashram gives shelter to majority of the living entities. One thing it should be understood, Prabhupada always used to say that in Kali Yuga, majority of the population is Shudra. Majority of the population is Shudra. So if majority of the population is Shudra, the best ashram for them, where even if they have material desires, they will not go against Dharma Shastras in a very severe manner. The best ashram for them is Grihastha Ashram. Because it is not possible to immediately transform a person into a pure devotee. So therefore, a Grihastha Ashram provides the chance for all sorts of living entities, right from the beginner up to the pure devotee. All sorts of pure individuals can find shelter in the Grihastha Ashram. But all sorts of individuals cannot find shelter in Brahmachari Ashram. A Shudra cannot become Brahmachari. Only a twice born can become a Brahmachari. A Shudra cannot become Brahmachari. A Shudra cannot become Sannyasi. Only the Brahmana can become Sannyasi. Therefore, the Grihastha Ashram is like an umbrella which can bring under it all type of living entities in this world. All types of living entities in this world. Absolutely no problem. And most importantly, in the spiritual world, in Golok Vrindavan, you will not hear of any Brahmachari. In the spiritual world, all of them, almost all of them, are situated in Grihastha Ashram. So those who are Brahmachari here in this world also know that eventually in the spiritual world, they also want to be situated in the Grihastha ashram. So this dear devotees was some description of the Grihastha ashram of the devotees. So at this point of time, I would like to pause whatever I had to say, and I would like to say yadatra skalitam kinchit vidvam saha purayantu tat yadatra saushtavam kinchit tad guru reva mena, that if there was anything which I spoke that was incorrect, then may the learned souls purify that understanding and correct me. But if there was anything nice in what I spoke, then please understand that it is coming from my Guru Janas. It is not coming from me. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. It was really helpful to understand how to see statements in scripture when we're reading, how they may be referring to non-devotees, and how it may be, it's helpful for a devotee's ashrama, Grihastha ashrama also, and then how we can cultivate detachment and while cultivating bhakti in the Grihastha ashrama like that. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for nice sharing. Yeah. I have one question, Prabhu. When you were speaking, you were talking about how the context was anything that we are enjoying, material enjoying within the Grihastha ashrama, we need to offer it to Krishna. And then you used a term, Aropa Siddha, Aropa Bhakti something, you used word, Prabhu. I couldn't follow what that means and how to practice it.
Yes, very nice. So the term which I used is Aropa Siddha Bhakti. Aropa Siddha Bhakti. And I will explain in short what is Aropa Siddha Bhakti. Because this is a concept which every Grihastha should understand. When Grihasthas go in the material world outside, do they become karmis? The answer is no. They do not become karmis. So how do devotees who go and work in the world outside remain devotees? So they remain devotees because even when they are working in the world outside, they ensure two things. First, they don't engage in any occupation which is directly breaking the four regulatory principles. For example, selling meat, selling intoxication, gambling, or in any sort of business that involves prostitution. This is the first thing that a sadgrihastha should ensure. Second thing, whatever a devotee does, Krishna has advised in Bhagavad Gita that you should offer it to me. There is a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhoshi dadasi yad yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat purushva matarpanam. Yat karoshi. Yat karoshi means whatever you do. It doesn't say, you know, yat punyam karoshi. It says whatever, yat karoshi, whatever you do. So Srila Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha, he says that for the devotee offers all the activities as well as the results of the activities to the Lord. Now how to offer activities as well as the result of the activities to the Lord? Is there any procedure to accept, to offer all those activities to the Lord? So Srila Jiva Goswami quotes a verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I am showing you this verse on screen. Please have a look. See, it is 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse number 36. Kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhyatmana vanusritasva bhava karoti yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayetat. So, the translation, in accordance with the particular nature one has acquired in conditioned life. See here, very important. In accordance with the particular nature one has acquired. So you have acquired a different nature, I have acquired a different nature. whatever nature we have acquired in our conditioned life. And whatever one does, see the translation, whatever one does with body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer to the Supreme. So how does one offer to the Supreme? By thinking, Narayanayeti. This is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. So this is the process of Arop Siddha Bhakti. Now here arises a question. Does this mean that only those activities which are described in Shastra should be offered to the Lord? Or even ordinary activities, which for example, going to the office, earning money, all these activities should also be offered to the Lord? So this doubt arises many times in mind. So in reply to this, there is a commentary by Srila Sridhar Swami. And Srila Jiva Goswami cites this commentary also. I am showing you this commentary. Please have a look here. See, this is the same verse of Srimad Bhagavatam 11.236. Kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhyatmana vanusrita svabhava. See here, Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami. Nanu, question. Kete bhagavata dharmaha. What exactly is Bhagavad Dharma? Devotional service, especially for a grihastha. Ishvara arpitani sarvakarmani apiti. The devotional service for a grihastha is offer all activities to Ishwar. Iti aha. This is said in the verse. Which verse? Kayena iti. The verse which begins with kayena. So then he says atmana. There is a term atmana in the verse, which means chittena ahankarena va. Through one's consciousness or through one's ego. And anusruto svabhavastasman. Through one's previously acquired svabhav or one's previously acquired nature. And Sridhar Swami says, very important, ayam arthaha. The meaning is, na kevalam viditaha kritam, eva iti niyamaha. Not only the activities which are vidhis given in shastras, which are rules given in shastras should be offered, but swabhav anusari laukika iti. But according to one's nature, even ordinary activities which are belonging to worldly activities should also be offered. In yat karoshi yad ashnashi yad juhosi dadasi yad yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. So this is the verse which Sridhar Swami quotes. So I hope, Prabhu, that this answers your query.
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhu, for a nice explanation how to offer everything to Krishna like that. It's good to learn that not just devotional activities are what are regulations given in scriptures, but all activities we are meant to offer to Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhuji, like, I have two questions. The first one is, like, on a call when a sannyasi comes, he gives the shastra side where it says that sannyas is the best for devotional service. When a grihastha comes, he says the grihastha is the best for devotional service. Though I understand that both of them have the same motive to take us more close to Krishna, to make us advance in spiritual life. But in between, at least I'm talking for myself, feel confused that what is the best way, because ultimately the speakers are the one who is telling us the sides of the different part of shastras. So which one do we take to our life, Prabhuji?
Thank you. This is your name, Mataji?
This is Anuradha Devi Dasi.
Okay, Anuradha Mataji. Thank you for this question, Anuradha Mataji. So, Mataji, the thing is, actually, I was planning to speak on some other line, but many times I have heard glorification of Sannyas Ashram and Brahmachari Ashram, but many times I have not heard the same glorification of Grihastha Ashram. And the thing is, Sannyas Ashram is often glorified amongst devotees and Brahmachari Ashram is often glorified amongst devotees. But if we want to have a proper Varnashram system, then all ashrams should be properly glorified. And this is the reason why there should be some check and balance. Actually speaking, the sannyasi should also glorify grihastha ashram. There is no harm if a sannyasi comes and glorifies the grihastha ashram of a Vaishnav. So a sannyasi should also glorify those grihasthas who are properly situated in their ashramas. However, if we hear some speaker say or cite verses which are critical of grihastha ashram, we should also understand that those verses are mainly in the context of individuals who are not devotees. And I have not only cited verses or given my opinion here, I also gave the opinion of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Jaiva Dharma, where he says that for most people in the world, the grihastha ashram is most suitable. And this is something which we can see through pratyaksha praman, through direct observation. In our movement of devotees, most devotees are not situated in brahmachari or sannyas ashram. The ashram which has given shelter to most devotees in our movement is grihastha ashram. And this is actually a healthy situation. And when a sannyasi or brahmachari comes and speaks something negative about that, then we should understand that although these statements are true for grihastha ashram, but there are also statements of equal difficulty for their ashram. And the grihastha may not be able to follow many rules of the grihastha ashram, but as I showed, the brahmachari and the sannyasi are also follow rules of sannyas ashram as they are given in Shastra. So many rules of brahmachari ashram I showed, and many of them cannot be followed by the brahmacharis today, because wearing deer skin and eating only when the guru eats, otherwise fasting, staying under a grihastha guru, these things are not easily possible in today's age. So Prabhupada always used to say that in this age, neither can I follow, neither can you follow. Best is if we do not indulge in critiquing each other. But today, I spoke of the difficulties of Brahmachari Ashram, not in order to critique Brahmachari Ashram, but to show that all ashrams are ashrams, that is, all ashrams are place of hard work. So that is the mood in which that should be accepted. Otherwise, we accept that grihastha ashram is a place of difficulty, but at the same time, in our mind, we should also understand that other ashrams are also places of immense difficulty. One time, I showed this purport to my Shiksha Guru, and I said, you see, here it is said that one has to listen to one wife, and he has to agree to everything that the wife says. And then he jokingly laughed and said, in the grihastha ashram, one has one wife to whom one has to listen. And in the brahmachari ashram, one has thousands of wives because there are thousands of managers and devotees in the temple whom one has to listen to and one cannot disagree. So, in any ashram, one has to surrender to a certain person or a certain devotee. So I hope that makes it clear, Mataji. Thank you.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, I had a second question, Prabhuji. I just had a doubt. Is stock market investment is a gambling or not? And also, when our Prabhus or sometimes even the Matajis, they go on work, they might be going for a normal IT job, but that IT firm may be investing in things like cow slaughtering or alcohol or anything it could be. But do we get the sin out of it? Because we are earning the money out of it. So, and we don't know where all it goes for investment.
Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada always used to say that, he used to quote the Manu Samhita and used to say that six people get the reaction for killing the animal. One who cuts the animal, one who sells the animal, one who transports the animal, one who eats the animal. So these are all equal criminals. So I am showing you the exact what Prabhupada said. See, one who orders the killing, one who directly orders, one who kills, one who cuts the dead animal into pieces, one who sells, one who buys, one who cooks, one who serves, and one who eats. They all are equal criminals. So if we are not one of these people, so then we are not implicated in the reaction. But stock market is a different question altogether. And stock market is, if somebody is dealing directly in the stock market, and then it is important that one should consult with one's guru as to what can be done. Because from case to case, the guru may advise differently. If I give a general advice, then what will happen is one man's medicine may become another man's poison. So it is best that in such cases, individual advice should be given by the respective gurus. So I hope that clarifies, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your answers, Prabhuji. Thank you. Dhanyavad Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. This is Kush here from Cincinnati. Thank you for giving a wonderful class and boosting us guest awesome towards devotional service. I had a quick question. Like, you know, at the end you said that Brahmanas who was twice born can become a sannyasi. So in today's world, like, suppose somebody is doing nonsense for his few of the years, and then he self-realized, and you know, and he becomes a Brahman, then he becomes a sannyasi. Also, like, anybody can become a sannyasi in today's world, like you have been saying, right? So how we can relate this to what you said using scriptures?
See, in our society ISKCON, one is not given sannyas initiation unless they have Brahman initiation. So only those who are twice born, they are given sannyas initiation. Now, once somebody is given sannyas initiation, they may have performed some nonsensical activity in the past. But as long as they do not do it again in the future, till that point of time, their sannyas is considered as valid. I will give two examples. One example is Avanti Brahmana. This example appears in the 11th canto. In his family, he engaged in very miserable behavior, very bad behavior. And then he suddenly took sannyas. And then suddenly, you know, he is being known as a sannyasi. And he had to face many difficulties. The society ridiculed him in many ways because of that. It gave him a very hard time. But still, the Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't say that he was an unqualified sannyasi. He was a sannyasi. So, this is one example. There are many other examples also. So, one should understand that once a person has decided that they will act purely in that ashram without deviating from the norms of that ashram, then they are well situated in that ashram. So, I hope that clarifies too.
Yeah, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanwat Pranam. Shila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Very nice, very wonderful class, Prabhu. So, my question is that one should, after Grahastha, means as the Veda says, after 50, you should go for the Vanaprastha. So, what is the Vanaprastha we should follow in today's time, and how it will be more practical? And should we go for the Vanaprastha after Grahastha?
Okay. So, Panchashortvam Vanam Prajet. This Prabhupada used to put, after 50, one should go to the forest. This is a rule in general Dharma Shastra that after 50, one should retire to the forest. Now, Vanaprastha doesn't mean that one should separate from one's spouse. Vanaprastha is taken also along with one's spouse. So, one can take Vanaprastha also along with one's spouse. Example of a person who was Vanaprastha along with his spouse is Dhritarashtra. Now, Dhritarashtra took Vanaprastha at a very late age, but still he went with his spouse. Another example are Pandavas. They retired to the forest. After they retired from their kingdom, they went with Draupadi. So, and in some cases, the king goes alone. For example, when Bharat Maharaj retired from family life, he went alone. He didn't take his wife. So, Vanaprastha is of both types, wherein one retires with one spouse and wherein one retires without one spouse. If one spouse is favorable, one can retire with one spouse. And if one spouse is not favorable, then one has the option of retiring without spouse. So both types of Vanaprastha are possible. I asked my Guru Maharaj, Shri Srimad Radha Govind Das Goswami Maharaj, about this once. And he said that a vanaprastha can also stay with his wife, his spouse. But the only thing is a vanaprastha should not endeavor for earning money. That's all. They should not endeavor for earning money. They should live very simply. And they should spend their time in spiritual advancement. And ideally is if they stay in some forest. But nowadays, staying in forest is not easily possible. So ideal is if they stay in some tirtha or in some holy place. So I hope that clarifies.
Yes, Prabhu. And then what is the right age? Because 50 now, if you think, we are not able to complete our responsibility regarding marriage and settling the kids, because everything is getting late. So.
Right. So I think, Mataji, if there is no stringent requirement, but if one has the desire, if one specifically has the desire of taking to vanaprastha ashram, they can wind up their material duties quickly and then retire as soon as possible. Otherwise, if one does not naturally have the desire, then one can stay in grihastha ashram and try to be detached in the grihastha ashram itself. So I hope that clarifies, Mataji.
Yes, thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. This is Vivek here. Thank you. Thank you for an enlightening class, Prabhuji. I have a question. So you were also quoting, please forgive me for asking this question, maybe because this is due to my poor understanding. So you quoted Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Jayodharma, and you were actually mentioning that he was actually glorifying grihasthas. But then how do we understand Nectar of Instruction, verse number 1, where Rupa Goswami is mentioning who is eligible to be a guru and take disciples all over the world. There he's saying one has to be a Goswami first to make disciples all over the world. And if a person is a grihastha, the main thing, a problem for a grihastha is control of senses, right? So how do we understand that?
So it's very important to understand that sense control for a grihastha and sense control for a brahmachari or sannyasi are two completely different subject matters. What is spoken of as sense control for the grihastha is a different sense subject matter, and what is spoken of as sense control for the sannyasi is a completely different subject matter. So for a grihastha, vacho vegam, they can control their speech. Manasaha krodha vegam, they can control their sense of anger. Jihva vegam, they can control their tongue by accepting prasadam. And mainly, if they are, as they progress in their spiritual lives, that prasadam should also be simple prasadam. Udar upastha, udar vegam means the urge of collecting or earning more. So as a grihastha advances, that urge of collecting or earning more should also go down and should be reduced only to what is needed. And upastha vegam means the urge of associating with the opposite gender. So in the grihastha ashram, one should ensure that one has a religiously wedded wife or husband, and that one should not, besides one's wife or husband, one should not look in other directions, and one should be firmly devoted to one's spouse. So this is the definition of dharma for a grihastha. For a sannyasi, the definition is completely different. So the verse is not speaking about grihastha or sannyasi. The verse is speaking about who is a controlled person and how they can become eligible to give instructions. Even today, there are many Goswamis who are householder families. For example, there is Radharaman temple. And the Radharaman temple deity worship is carried out by Goswamis who are all grihasthas. And those Goswamis are also gurus. And Srila Bhakti Siddhan Saraswati Thakur, who was a sannyasi in Gaudiya Math, the founder of Gaudiya Math, he had very good relationships with the Grihastha Goswami Gurus of Radharaman Temple. So in this way, we can see both ashrams taking the role of gurus and executing that role. Although the Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam is different for different ashrams. So I hope that clarifies.
Okay, Prabhuji. Because in the same book, remember Prabhupada mentioning that Goswamis means one has to have control of senses. So you're saying the definition is different.
Yes, definition. The adhikari is different, so the definition is different, Prabhu. That is the reason.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Prabhuji, I have a question. So this is about when you were, it's not directly about the Varnashram, but it was about when you were answering one of the questions on, I believe it was Arop Siddhi, and you were showing one verse. Now, in that verse, I have a question regarding the chitta or the consciousness. So one must dedicate whatever one does with your chitta, is what you were mentioning, meaning the consciousness. I'm just trying to understand the specific definitions of mana and chitta here. When we say chitta, consciousness, we say it's a symptom of the soul, and then we say mana is a part of the subtle body. Now, when I am saying I am dedicating something with some of my activities in the service of the Lord, and how do I do it with my chitta? Am I not doing it with my mana or intelligence? How does it become chitta? Because it does the, if the chitta is a symptom of the soul, what activity does it do? Can you please elaborate on the how the chitta and the mana are getting in action? How is it getting executed? I want to understand that part.
Okay, so I'll show this verse again so that I think, yeah, this was the section that you were asking. Atmana chittena ahankarenava. I guess this is what you were asking. And so this is because the term buddhi atmana, this is the term atmana here. And Srila Sridhar Swami wants to explain the term atmana. So Srila Sridhar Swami says atmana equal to what? Atmana equal to chittena. Chittena means with one's consciousness. Or ahankarenava. So then it combines to become chittena ahankarenava. So what it is chittena ahankarenava. The chittena means with one's consciousness. Now, chitta specifically refers to one's consciousness, and this consciousness has many vrittis. Vrittis means many functions. For example, one of the vrittis of chitta is to accept something, to reject something. So this chitta is basically one's consciousness through which one accepts something, rejects something, consciously or unconsciously carries out bodily movements. For example, chitta as consciousness is felt throughout the entire body, but mana is felt only in a specific part of the body. So this is the difference between chitta and mana. Chitta is felt wherever the consciousness of the body is felt. Now wherever the consciousness of the body is felt, there one's chitta is present. So if through one's chitta, even if there is an involuntarily body motion, for example, because one has chitta in one's mouth, therefore when one, you know, suddenly yawns, it is because of the presence of consciousness in the portion of the mouth. It is because chitta is present there. So the physical activity was carried out by the mouth, but it was the chitta which provided the consciousness to the mouth for carrying out that activity. So not only the physical activity, But the conscious, subtle consciousness which is behind the physical activity should also be offered to the Lord. Because when it says Atmana, so by your Atma, what does it mean, offer all activities by your Atma? Because Atma doesn't actually perform material activities. So Sridhar Swami says, by your Atma, whatever you do means by your Chitta, whatever you do. By your Chitta means by your consciousness, whatever you do. What do we do with our consciousness? Our consciousness is a driver for our external actions. So not only do we offer the external actions which happen through the gross senses, we also offer the fuel behind it, which is the chitta or consciousness behind it, to the Supreme Lord. And he says va, or atmana can mean ahankarena, through one's ego, whatever one does. I am doing this, I am doing that, this is me, this is mine. So ahankarena, whatever one has, that also one should offer to the Lord. So this is the meaning of chittena ahankarena va. The chitta here implies the consciousness behind doing all physical and mental activities, because it is the chitta which drives specifically all the physical activities. So not only should the physical activities be offered, but the consciousness behind those physical activities should also be offered. So I hope that clarifies to some extent.
Yes, Prabhu. So when we say we are executing it with the mind, meaning we are doing it consciously, I mean with the mind. When we say Atmena, meaning with the actual Chitta, it means that we are doing it subconsciously, whatever action.
Yeah. So the consciousness may be driven by the mind, or sometimes it may be, you know, subconscious. That is what we say. In both cases, it should be offered to the Lord.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. That clarifies a lot. Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very wonderful class as always. Very intriguing. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for your association and always your wonderful classes. I do have one question. I've heard in many of your classes that you said that only grahasthas have an adhikar, authority, to light a fire. Is there any exception to this rule? Because I have personally seen that sometimes the spiritual masters in ISKCON, they also lit fire for doing the initiation.
Yes, yes. So, Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the West, one of the many things he did was, he did, because there was no priest to perform initiation ceremonies and marriage ceremonies. Srila Prabhupada arranged marriage ceremonies and initiation ceremonies and lit the fire. Now, this was something which his godbrothers in the Gaudiya Math found to be somewhat unsettling. And Srila Prabhupada on some occasions said, my godbrothers criticized me that I am performing the marriage ceremony here. So the reason is that sannyas is the exact opposite of, you know, in many ways sannyas is the exact opposite of marriage ceremony. And a sannyasi is supposed to leave the society. And in fact, a marriage is a get together of the society. So for a sannyasi to perform a marriage ceremony, not only to perform, to actually arrange the fire sacrifice in a marriage ceremony, that was very difficult for some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers to understand. And Prabhupada received some criticism for that. Actually speaking, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said Niragni. Niragni means a sannyasi is traditionally supposed to say without Agni. But as I said, in today's world, Brahmachari cannot remain ideal Brahmachari. Grihastha cannot become ideal Grihastha. Vanaprastha cannot become ideal Vanaprastha, and a sannyasi also cannot ideally follow all the rules. So this is what is happening in today's age, and for this reason, all the ashrams should come together and work for the benefit of each other. And we see sometimes gurus are doing fire sacrifices, but many times those same gurus are also asking some grihastha to do the fire sacrifice, because it is best that the fire sacrifice is carried out from a person who has adhikar in his ashram to carry out the fire sacrifice. Such a person is not present, then the spiritual master may personally carry out the sacrifice. But that is an exceptional case. The general rule is that it is mainly the grihastha who has adhikar for lighting the fire. Because as soon as we light fire, some living entities are killed, and then it is karma, and sannyasi is not supposed to engage in karma. So I hope that clarifies my question.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Because my both the initiations happened when my guru himself did the yagya. So I was little, quite disturbing to me that, you know, why all this happened. But thank you for your wonderful answer.
Yes. And it is, many times spiritual masters perform the yagya and there is no problem in that. But at the same time, whatever are the traditional positions of Shastra that I have to specify so that devotees come to know that this is what was done traditionally in Shastra. So thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranams. Prabhuji, in the same vein, I had this question about the Anashrita Karmaphalam verse, which is that, he's not a true renunciate who does not light a fire like that. Can you please explain it in that perspective, Prabhuji?
So you want me to explain that particular verse?
Yes, Prabhuji, in that it says like a true renunciate is a person who's actually renounced and not somebody who does not light a fire, you know, like that. It's referring to a sannyasi, okay. Basically there. Mm-hmm. So in that purport, and also in some of the lectures, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that, you know, we have to dedicate our activities towards service of Krishna. And so he says that, so that's what the understanding I got. So it's not necessary that the sannyasi should not light a fire like that. So if you're able to elaborate on that, it'll help me understand that better, Prabhuji.
Okay, sure. Definitely, Mataji. So this verse is in the sixth chapter, first verse. So here it is, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Anashritah Karma Phalam Karyam Karma Karoti Yaha. Sa sannyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriyah. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, one who is unattached to the fruits of the work and who works as he is obligated in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no duty. So, Lord Krishna is contrasting the traditional position. That traditional position is that sannyasi is somebody who does not light a fire and who does not perform any karma. That is the traditional definition. And Lord Krishna says, not only he who lights no fire and performs no duty, but also one who is unattached to the fruits of work and who works as he is obligated in the renounced order of life. So not only the person who doesn't light a fire, but also they require some other qualification, that they should perform work without attachment. So that is the meaning of this specific verse. Now, if we see all the sannyasis that are there who say that we follow absolute traditional orthodox rules, and you can see such sannyasis in many places in India. For example, in the four mutts of Shankaracharya, the sannyasis don't light any fire. And, you know, they don't perform any Agni Kriya. Because they are Niragni. Niragni means they don't light any fires. So, and they have those traditional rules of sannyas that they will never cross over the country and go to other countries. So that is what is the traditional definition of sannyas, and they follow it. But Lord Krishna says, besides doing that, one should also understand that sannyas is mainly in giving up the desire for karma and the fruits of karma, not simply, you know, by remaining without lighting a fire. So I hope that clarifies in some way, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
I'm sorry, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhuji. I also had this question because I see some Vaishnava like a sannyasi, like they're called jeers, and specifically I have seen that, you know, they don't take any prasadam, you know, which is prepared by others. They carry their own stuff and they, you know, cook like something and offer to the Lord and take it on their own. Like even if they like at least one jeer who visits my friend's place, he cooks his own. He does not, you know, accept even if the householders cook and give. So that's why I was just wondering, Prabhuji.
Yeah, so in this case, what happens, because there are sannyasis who are traveling and sometimes they are not very sure of what is the consciousness of the person who is cooking, and they may not want to take a risk. So what they do is they may sacrifice the rule of no cooking. They may start cooking because, you know, at least when they are cooking for themselves, they are sure that, you know, their consciousness is pure while cooking. So that is the, they sacrifice one rule in order to protect another rule. That is what is happening.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for putting the things in perspective, and I really appreciate your class, Prabhuji. I was wondering if at some other time, if you're able to, you know, give some Shastric evidence, because I've heard like many times that a woman's role is confined to kitchen and domestic duties, but I've not seen personally. I'm not a well-versed Shastric expert, but I would like to hear from you on that too, Prabhuji, because once I had a question this to Urmila Mataji, and she gave me a whole document based on her research, and from what I understand and hear from other classes too, that and like you were rightly saying earlier also, like the gurus were Grihastha Brahmanas, and they had many of the disciples help out the Guru Patni. And so she got a lot of help. And for Kshatriyas, needless to say, they were when they were married, the woman had a whole retinue of servants and sakhis and things following them. And for, Vaishyas, the husband and wife and the whole family was in fact involved in the profession. It was not like the wife did something else, the children did something else, so everybody did everything together. And perhaps Shudra is the only, you know, order where the woman may be doing domestic, but I don't have Shastric, I mean I've not read that anywhere, so I don't know about that. So if some other time, if you're able to elaborate on these, so I've not seen any. Where, I mean, of course, I do understand that the woman has to be chaste, follow her husband and serve her husband. And similarly, the husband does the same. But I mean, restricting a woman to household affairs is, I don't know, Prabhuji. It's, I'm not so convinced. So I'd love to hear from you on that, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji.
So this is a topic which affects the personal lives of many devotees. And therefore, while speaking on this topic, any speaker has to be extremely careful, because whatever we say affects the personal and is going to affect the personal lives of many devotees, especially if somebody is in a position of leadership. And if they say something which affects the lives of devotees in a negative manner, then that, instead of being a service, that will end up becoming a disservice. So regarding the position of ladies, it is best for me to say that when Srila Prabhupada was present on this planet, he engaged the ladies in performing or clearing the Bhakti Shastri exams also. So Srila Prabhupada also wanted that ladies should study Bhakti Shastri and they should clear the exams. And at least from a Shastric perspective, if somebody has a desire to study or to perform some other seva of the Lord, they should be encouraged to do that seva, because the entire mode of Vaishnavism is that when it comes to the service of the Lord, we consider bodily platform as a secondary platform. Now, if we were to implement the strict rules of the Vedas, absolute strict rules of the Vedas, and I'm speaking right now, please excuse me for some time. I am not speaking, if I stop speaking as Hari Parshad Das, and if I go back to my family lineage and I speak like Swartha Brahmana, then neither ladies nor Shudras have access to even chanting pranav or any of the Gayatri mantras. But when it comes to the society of Vaishnavas, Shudras, that is men, as well as ladies, they have been given access to chanting Brahma Gayatri. So, if we are not discriminating those men who are Shudra by birth, and we are allowing them to get Brahma Gayatri, then logic follows that we should not also discriminate on the Vaishnavis on the basis of their birth. So, but if we discriminate only the Vaishnavis on the basis of birth, then that, in my opinion, then there is some misunderstanding of Shastra that is happening. At the same time, there are traditional roles assigned to genders, and these traditional roles should be maintained in order to maintain the sanctity of the society. So, while trying our best to maintain the traditional roles, if a lady is very much attracted to performing other services which does not disturb her household life, then definitely she should be allowed to. And I am quoting a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 4.1.64. Those who are interested can note down this verse. Tebhyo dadhar kanye dve vayunam dharinim swadha ubhe te brahma vadinyau jnana vijnana paragya. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Swadha, who was offered to the Pitas, begot two daughters named Vayuna and Dharani. These are two daughters, both of whom were impersonalists and were expert in transcendental and Vedic knowledge. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam speaking about two girls who were expert in transcendental and Vedic knowledge, Prabhupada's own words, and they were impersonalists. Basically, Aham Brahmasmi was their main motto of life. But they were two ladies who were allowed to study and who became complete experts. And somebody may say this expert may have been added in the translation. No, it is there in the verse itself. Parage. Paraga means they are very expert. So this is Srila Shukadeva Goswami's explanation of two ladies becoming completely expert in Vedic knowledge. So I don't see a problem there. But then those who have to offer arguments will again offer arguments saying that in Kali Yuga, ladies are not qualified, so they should stay at homes. So this argument, this line of argumentation can keep going on and on. And the Sargrahi Vaishnavas, they know what to do. So I hope that clarifies my question.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for the wonderful lecture. Prabhuji, I have a general question on the yuga. See, in this yuga, parents are not ready to send their kids for brahmachari. And also the old parents, they're not ready for vanaprastha so easily. So, and you mentioned that this yuga is full of mostly shudra, so everyone are interested in grahastha ashrama. And if that happens, the most of the number, the count will be grahastha ashrama. So how does this yuga maintain the balance of all the ashramas? Or is it imbalance? Just a general question, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So Mataji, in this age, there is imbalance of almost everything. There are imbalances everywhere. There is Jati Sankar. There is Varna Sankar. There is Bhasha Sankar, there is Bhusha Sankar. First, I will explain what is the meaning of Sankar. Sankar means mixture of two incompatibilities is known as Sankar. In traditional Shastra, whenever two incompatibles are mixed, that is called as Sankara. In Bhagavad Gita, there is one Sankara mentioned, Varna Sankara. Varna Sankara means when two incompatible Varnas get married, then the child that is produced is called as Varna Sankara. And Srila Prabhupada used to say that most children in Kali Yuga are Varna Sankara. Then there is something known as Jati Sankara. Jati Sankara means when two incompatible Jatis or races get married, that becomes Jati Sankara. Then when these two incompatibilities get married, then that is called as Bhusha Sankara. Bhusha means they have different tastes in wearing clothes, different tastes in food, different tastes in everything. So all these Sankars follow because of Varna Sankara and Jati Sankara. So in Kali Yuga, there is a great hodgepodge of everything. For this reason, Srila Prabhupada said that we should try to institute Varnashram, Devi Varnashram, so that we can try to rectify the situation to some degree at least. It may not be possible to rectify completely, but to some degree we should try to rectify the situation. Actually speaking, Varnashram is instituted by Supreme Lord. Chatur Varnam Maya Srishtam. It is an institution created by Supreme Lord. If the Supreme Lord were to ever create an institution, that institution is named Varnashram. There is no other institution which the Supreme Lord created. He created only one institution. That institution is breaking down in Kali Yuga. So when Prabhupada said that we should have Varnashram, it means that we should try to heal the system, heal the institution that the Supreme Lord made. Because we don't have the capacity to make a new institution parallel to the institution of the Supreme Lord. So we should try to heal the institution that the Supreme Lord made to the best of our capabilities. And we should use principles that are useful for healing that institution in this age of Kali. So that is what we should try to do. And it may not be possible on a global scale very easily. But on local small scales or medium scales, it is definitely possible for those who are devotees. So I hope that clarifies, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the reply. But one more question, Prabhuji. Was it balanced in the past yugas? Was there proper balance or it was just degrading from the past yugas to Kali Yuga?
So in the past yugas, there were different variations of the quantities of ashram. Satya Yuga, mainly Hamsa and Paramhamsas were existing. Many of those Hamsas and Paramhamsas were in renounced order of life. You see, ever since Brahma started creating, so the initial progeny was not interested in household life. And then when the progeny after Manu Maharaj, they got interested in household life, then from their Vedic Karma Kanda and everything, you know, especially from Treta Yuga, all the Karma Kanda started. From their householder life, people were very interested in. And, you know, gradually, but they were also sannyasis and vanaprasthas and brahmacharis, all because there was no entering into household life without undergoing brahmachari training in Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga also. And then finally, when Kali Yuga came, the entire Gurukul system broke down. And so now we only have grihasthas who have no brahmachari training. So it is gradually degrading. But by the mercy of the Lord and by putting efforts towards this cause, we can try to heal the Varnashram system to a certain extent. So I hope that clarifies the answer, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for the wonderful class and the reply. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam. I don't have any question. Such a nice question answer. And as usual, very nectar in class, Prabhuji. Like Radhanath Maharaj is sitting in front of us in Gopinath and you are explaining, like Jyamindra Prabhu is explaining class, Ajit Govind Maharaj is explaining class. Thank you, Prabhuji. Please give your association regularly. Hari Hari Gauranga. Prabhuji, you are a master in Sanskrit. I know you are so tired, but at least two stanza. Can you please sing any sloka, whatever you like?
Okay. There is a very nice verse in the Yajna Patni Lila. There is a very nice verse which, you know, the devotee poet Hari Suri speaks, because what happens is that in the Yajnapatni Leela, these brahmanas, they want to offer they refuse, you know, Krishna, Balram and all the sakhas, and they do not give them any offerings from of rice or anything like that. So when they don't give them, you know, any offerings of rice, and what happens is that then these particular cowherd boys and, you know, Lord Krishna, they all become dejected. So when that happens, so they go to the Yajnapatnis, and the Yajnapatnis, they feed Lord Krishna and Balram, you know, very nicely. They feed them very, very nicely. And when they feed them very, very nicely, at that point of time, the brahmanas realize that, oh, you know, we made a very great mistake. We made a very great mistake. For this reason, you know, they feel very regretful. At that point of time, Sri Hari Suri, you know, he composes a verse in order to ask forgiveness, you know, for the brahmanas. And, you know, he says this thing in support of the brahmanas. What does he say in support of the brahmanas? He says that Noktam nomiti vatadaya rupate satyam param tvam tato trishte tvatkritameva krityamakhilam yad brahmanasyo bhava tasmat svadvijadam shittapirasana na krodhahetubhavat yevam samprati sadvijavayam api Shri Shanga Sambandhina. The Brahmanas, Hari Suri speaks on the behalf of Brahmanas, and he says, O Lord, we are Dvijas and we committed an aparadh towards you. We hurt you actually. We hurt you even though we are Dvijas. But dear Lord, you should forgive us even though we are Dvijas and we hurt you. Because dear Lord, it is said in the Shastra that Dvijas were born from your mouth. Brahmanosya mukhamasit, the Vedas say. The Dvijas were born from the mouth of the Supreme Lord. At this point of time, we have to understand that Sri Hari Suri is making a very important, you know, there is a double meaning here. Because one meaning of Dvija is Brahmana, because Brahmana is twice born. Another meaning of Dvija is teeth, because teeth are also twice born. Teeth appear twice in the body. So Dvija refers to Brahmanas as well as teeth. So Hari Suri says, we are Dvijas who are born in your mouth. And if accidentally the Dvijas hurt the mouth, then one never becomes angry towards the Dvijas. What he is meaning to say is that accidentally, if one's own tooth hurts one's mouth while eating, one does not become angry at the tooth. Similarly, we are Dvijas and we have accidentally ended up hurting you. Please don't become angry at us, because we are part of your own body, dear Lord. We are inseparable parts of your body. So please excuse us, dear Lord. So this is a verse that he spoke. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam to your Seva, Sri Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhuji. Blessing is coming from heart, Prabhuji. Thanks is very small word.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class. It's 8:15 now. Is still having anybody having any more questions? Thank you, Prabhuji, for patiently answering so many questions. Thank you so much. If there are no more questions, we can end the call here.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Very, very nice class and very nice question and answers, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your association. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. I would like to offer my obeisances to you and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call, Prabhuji. Vancha Kalpatarupiasi Kripa Sindhu Bhe Vajapatitana Pavani Bhe Vaishnavi Bhe Namo Nama Ananta Koti Vaishnav Rindh Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Hari Parshad Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you
so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.